This is the editorial written by Chris Swan. There are some songs that are brainworms. I remember as a 10-year-old child listening to Sinatra singing High Hopes, and then I would go around singing it Worm of a Chorus, He's Got High Hopes, High Apple Pie in the Sky Hopes, as I was setting out in life. But high hopes are not realised without a deal of struggle. Even the super successful influencers that Lotus Eat in the Emirates are finding that paradise comes at a cost, mostly from what are called suicide drones, though how an inanimate object can be suicidal is beyond me. So I've been reading about Violet Jessop. She grew up in an adobe mud hut in Argentina, born to an Irish mother and father. It was a poor and sometimes tragic upbringing, her little brother dying of black scarlatina, and Violet herself contracting tuberculosis and being given 3 months to live. She survived, just, but a nurse who had looked after her in the worst stages of her fever bumped into her many years later and thought she was a ghost. Having survived against the odds, courtesy of the Argentinian mountains' pure air, Violet's father died suddenly and the family had to return to England at the turn of the 20th century. Violet continued her education in a convent school, but in 1908, at 21 years old, her mother's health deteriorated and she became the family breadwinner, only to find there were few, if any, jobs for women on shore. So she decided to go to sea and applied to be a stewardess on one of the many ships that provided transatlantic travel. She got the job serving first on the Orinoco, then moving to the White Star Line, finally gravitating to the Titanic. She felt her own high hopes were finally being rewarded until it promptly sank. Miraculously, she survived, floating adrift for 2 days in freezing cold, clutching an unclaimed baby. They both survived, and Violet vividly describes the huge boat descending into the deep with its lights still gleaming from the portholes. After the day the Titanic sank, Violet had no pay, even during the long and arduous journey back home, but undaunted, she went back to sea and eventually became a stewardess on the Britannic, Titanic's sister ship, when it was put into war service in 1916. Then, just 4 years after Titanic's demise, Britannic was torpedoed and sank as well. Violet again survived, but this time with a gashed leg and an undiagnosed fractured skull. It was a miracle she survived, and she wrote a terrible description of being nearly sucked into the boat's still rotating propellers. I think that should be a description of a terrible event. But still Violet was not put off, and she joined many more ships. But by now she was a celebrity and known as the unsinkable stewardess, enjoying much improved personal conditions on board. She worked as a stewardess for over 40 years on the transatlantic and then the cruise liners which replaced them until 1950, when she happily retired to Suffolk. I am rather hoping that the Bulletin will follow Violet's example and prove unsinkable. Benson's new houses aren't iceberg, but they have rather torpedoed the way the magazine is set up and financed. The decision for the Bulletin to stand on its own 2 feet all those years ago, long before my time, was a good one and can still work. It's all about value, really. Valuing an institution and means of communication whose loss would very much diminish the community and lead to many more people asking for help on social media than there are now. Read the facts about us on the previous page if you haven't already, and please feel free to write to us, and most importantly, advertise with us.